Good evening and welcome to the service. I appreciate Shannon leading those songs dealing with Joshua and his great faith. And we sang about dare to be like Joshua, and I dare you this evening to be like Joshua. I dare myself. It is a challenge because he was different in the world that he lived in, and we need to be different from the world around us. And we also sang the walls came tumbling down, and that was quite a feat and quite a challenge for them, but the great faith that accomplished that. And so this evening, I would like to look at that story of Jericho and see if there's some admonition for us this evening. In the song, we sang that walls of sin will come tumbling down. We can certainly make some spiritual applications in our life today. In the book of Joshua, of course, we read about the great conquest of Canaan. And when we read in the Old Testament, we need to be reminded that these things are for our learning. And we can go back and learn and see what kind of great faith that it takes to be pleasing to God. And when we turn to the book of Hebrews, as we've just read in our scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 11, all of those examples of faith. And if you'll turn with me there to Hebrews 11, if you're still there, I wanted to notice a few things. From these examples in Hebrews chapter 11, we simply find out what kind of faith is necessary in order to be pleasing to God. In addition to the story of Jericho, it starts all the way back up with Abel in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. You'll notice in these examples the verbs that are used. By faith, Abel offered, showing that faith is active. Whenever you see true Bible faith, there is a verb there. There's an obedience. There's an action there. By faith, Abel offered. In contrast to the faith-only idea of many today, where you just simply think about Jesus as your Savior. Nothing has to be done and automatically you're saved. No, Bible faith acts. By faith, Abel, verse 4. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And we find later in the verse, for he had witness born to him before his translation had been, he was well-pleasing. There's your action. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark. There's your action. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out. There's your action. And we continue all the way down through the chapter. We find in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. There's your action. Bible faith is obedient, and there's action associated with that. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed. There's your action, and so forth. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he was not made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid by his parents. Verse 24, he chose, he made the right choice, you see. Faith acts. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. I think you get the point. Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us the importance of the right kind of faith that we need to have to be pleasing to God. And so, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Obedience. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about. There's your verb, to go around these walls. After, and notice that, and we're going to make a point of that later in the lesson. That it's only after obedience that we are blessed by God. By faith, Rahab, verse 31, received the spies and hid them. And so, the right kind of Bible faith is that which is obedient to God. And so we're going to turn back this evening to Joshua chapter 6. And if you'll turn there at this time, we're going to be going back and looking at that familiar Old Testament story. What can we learn from the fall of Jericho? We certainly learn about a great power of God. We certainly learn about walls falling down, and that doesn't happen every day. But we're going to see the faith that it takes to make these walls fall down, the faith that fell walls. The first thing that I'd like to look at before actually looking at the story is just simply to consider the background to some of this, that the Israelites are coming into the land of Canaan, and they've just crossed the Jordan River there, and they're camped at Gilgal, and they're about to go up and fight there at Jericho. We need to remember how many years have passed since the promise to Abraham that God would give this land to Abraham's children. Over 400 years. Over 400 years have passed, and you can see where the Israelites are camped there, and it's been 400 years before that God has made this promise. You can see where maybe somebody would lose faith, or somebody might begin to say, well, I don't know if this is ever going to come to pass. Is this ever going to happen? You've got this big city in front of us, this big walled city. We've made all of these journeys and all these travels through the wilderness. We don't have any land yet. God made a promise over 400 years ago. Is He even going to carry through with this promise? And so you might see the challenge right there for the children of Israel. Not only that, but then there would be the physical challenge that lay ahead of them. Jericho was a large fortified city with thick walls. In the early 1900s, around 1930, two British archaeologists did a lot of excavation in and around Jericho. And they found a number of things there that confirms the Bible story, and we've been talking about that in our Bible class. One thing they found with regard to the walls was that there were two sets of walls about 14 feet apart. Not only that, but segments of the walls were over 10 feet wide or thick. And so we're not talking about a little brick wall like we have outside this church building, one brick thickness deep. We're talking about 10 feet deep. We're talking about a massive fortified city. Then when you get through that wall, you go about 14 feet. Then you've got another wall that's very thick that you have to go through. This is a very formidable challenge for the Israelites. And I want you to see the great faith that it takes. You stand close there in Jericho. It's up on a hill. The scripture talks about going up to Jericho. You're talking about two very thick walls going all the way around this city. You've been told 400 years in the past that you're going to get this land. There are a lot of challenges that lay here. And so the great faith that it takes in God to do His Word and do His will. In the same regard, we may have challenges in our life today. We may have fortified cities and fortified walls that we need to deal with today on our way to Canaan land. The other thing about this matter is that if you look on a map, Jericho is right there close to the Red Sea. It's the first thing that you come to when you come into the land of Canaan. So the first thing that we meet when we come into the land of Canaan is a large obstacle. The first thing that we come across is a large fortified city. And again, the great faith that it takes to continue on doing God's Word in God's way. Sometimes we face large fortified obstacles in our way and we have to deal with them. It's going to take the right kind of faith in order to do that. Is that the speaker, Shannon? I think it might be this, for some reason, this remote microphone. Turn now to the text in Joshua chapter 6. In Joshua chapter 6, we begin to look at the story of the fall of Jericho. And when we do this, I want to look at five subjects this evening, or five areas of study with regard to faith. Five characteristics of faith. The five characteristics of faith that it will take to be successful in our relationship with God today. First of all, we find in this story of the fall of Jericho that it's not just any kind of faith, but faith in God. We need to understand that people today put their faith in a lot of different things. There are all kinds of different religions. There are all kinds of different gods, different idols, different powers that people put their faith in. And the only way we're going to be right and successful in life is have a faith in God. He is the only one that has demonstrated His power. When we come to the story of Jericho, we need to understand that the Israelites already had a background with a powerful God. God had already demonstrated His power to outsiders. In Joshua chapter 2, Rahab and others, verse 10, "For we have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea." God had already demonstrated His power, and others knew that. Non-Israelites knew that. That word and that message had gotten out. You cannot cross the Red Sea on dry land and that not get out. Somebody's going to run somewhere and tell that. And the power of God had been known even among outsiders. God's power had been demonstrated from Egypt all the way through the wilderness wanderings. And in more of a closer situation, they had just crossed the Jordan River on dry land. The point is simply this, that God demonstrates His power over and over again, and even today in our lives, and we can put our faith and trust in Him. I don't want to put faith and trust in someone who cannot deliver, someone who does not have power. So God has already shown that he is powerful enough to do this. The faith that fell walls was faith in God's power. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that we must have faith in order to be right, but not just any kind of faith. Without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're going to talk about that reward and blessing later. Has God given us any testimony, any witness of his existence? Must believe that he is. Do we know there is a God? Yes, because of the design of the universe around us, because of his word that has passed the test of thousands of years, if you're especially talking about the Old Testament, 2,000 years for the New Testament. Must believe that he is. Stop right there. How can I believe that God is? How can I believe when he does not show himself physically? Well, God is a spirit, but we have the design all around us of the designer, the design of the human body, the design of the universe around us, and we have his word that is without error. He has shown power over and over again. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. God had demonstrated to Israel that he was and that he is, and they could put their faith in him. True faith in God is what is going to be a faith that saves. Trust in his power to save. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, a very familiar passage. The faith that fell walls was faith in God, not in themselves, not in their own plan, not in their own power, but in God's power. And we need to understand today that if we're going to be saved from sin, and we have these challenges and these obstacles in front of us, but it's going to be coming to God in his word. We're not going to say we're going to save ourselves, we're going to follow our own word, but God's word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, the power of God, not our power, not man's power. It is God's power unto salvation. And we've got to have faith in that. People today turn to other things, including some churches of Christ preaching something else other than the gospel. They doubt the power of the gospel to bring people in. David prayed about the building being filled and souls being saved. We've got to trust in God's power to do that. And we've got to be getting out and setting up those home Bible studies, and we've got to be talking with others about the gospel. If we have materials here that we can take to them, the recorded messages, the things that we're trying to produce, to put into hands of people, let us be busy doing that, because we trust that the gospel is God's power to save. A faith that fell walls was a faith in God. Joshua and the army didn't go up and say, we're going to have faith in our army. We're going to have faith in our numbers. We're going to have faith in our military strategy. We've already sent two spies out, so we don't need God. We can have our own military strategy. It's faith in God's power to save. And we need to understand that. Today we try to tackle things on our own. We try to tackle things without God, without God's word, without reading our Bible, without prayer, without assembling with the saints, and we wonder why we fail. We've got to put our trust in God's power. It is not just faith. Everybody believes in something. Everybody trusts in something. What distinguishes faith that fell walls and the faiths of men? It's faith in God's power. So that power works in us and does great things in us. And we need to have that kind of faith today. Do we find ourselves turning to the things of men, or continuing to trust in God and his word and those things that bring us closer to God? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Apostle Paul says, "And for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, that when you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe." God's word works in us, and it will continue to have that powerful, effectual working. And it will accomplish great things in our life. It's the Word of God, by the way. The word of man is not powerful. The word of God is powerful. The first lesson that I'd like for us to learn this evening is that the faith that fell walls was faith in God's power, not in man's power. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, as we'll see later on. The God that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, that same powerful God accomplished the walls of Jericho falling down. And so we have to put faith in God's power. Now today, we're not walking around Jericho. Our task is not to walk around Jericho. Our task is not to physically fight wars, to go into Canaan land. Our task is to fight the devil. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to need some help with that. We're going to need some power with that. And so, whether it's on a daily basis with things that we struggle with, battles that we struggle with, personal addictions, personal problems, things that involve those in or outside of the church, that's our taking of Canaan land. We're going on our way to Canaan land. We've got to fight our spiritual battles. We've got to have faith in God's power. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord," not in your own personal strength. "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Come on down to verse 14. "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth." There's the power of God's word. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We have to stand firm on the gospel. "With all, taking up the shield of faith." This faith in God's power and in following His word, it acts like a defensive shield. "With all, that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one," as he shoots things at us on a daily basis. We've got to be able to quench those. In ancient days, in Rome, in Greece, and other ancient armies would set their arrows on fire. We don't fight that way today. We have guns and bombs and things like that, but they would light an arrow and they would shoot it, and when that thing's coming toward you, you got this big old ball of fire coming toward you. You're going to need something to quench that, to stop that. You're going to have a big shield that can block that. Not only that, but when that thing hits, it spreads fire, it throws fire. You've got to be protected, and the devil is trying to burn us, as it were. "The helmet of salvation," verse 17, "the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And don't leave off prayer, verse 18, "with all praying and supplication," praying at all seasons, and in those seasons, those times of temptation and things like that, "in all perseverance, watching thereunto in supplication." God is standing ready with a whole arsenal of power. Look at verse 10 again. "Strength and power of His might." He's standing ready to provide us a whole arsenal. We have to put that on. We have to take that up. So faith in God's power, not our own. Number two, the faith that fell walls was a faith that acted in conjunction with God's grace. God's grace simply means His blessing and favor in wanting to give His children good things. So when we turn back to Joshua chapter 6, we find that the story opens up there that God said, "I have given you Jericho." They would not be able to do anything without God's grace. Without God's blessing and grace and what He wants, His gifts, were nothing. But it is a faith in conjunction with that. It works with that. It's not saved by grace alone. Neither is it saved by faith alone. You'll never find in the Scripture where we're told that we're saved by grace alone, or we're told that we're saved by faith alone. We're told in Scripture that we're saved by grace through faith. Both of them working together. Faith with God's grace. And we'll see that in just a moment. So verse 6, somebody says, well, if they had done this on their own, they would have been able to make the walls fall down. Absolutely not. No. You're nothing without God. We're nothing without God. Without God's gift. Verse 2. "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof." I've given you this. Come down to verse 16. "And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for Jehovah hath given you the city." God gave them the city. And that was by God's grace. Any salvation, any victory comes from God's grace, which means His blessing, His favor, His gift. But it's in conjunction with things that we have to do. And when we do those things, it does not take away from God's grace. The denominational world says that if you do anything yourself, then somehow you're taking away from God's grace. No, it's still a gift. It's still God's grace. And notice in verse 2 and in verse 16, Jehovah had given you the city. It was a gift from God. But what? They had to take the gift. They had to follow the conditions and meet the conditions of taking the gift. If I give Shannon a gift, and I say, Shannon, come up here and get the gift, if he walks up here and gets it, it doesn't take away from the fact that it's still a gift. Many in the denominational world simply do not see that because they've had about 500 years of John Calvin saying, if you take the gift, then you somehow take away from God. That was his idea that he implanted years ago, and many have bought into that. Look at the same chapter. In the same chapter that talks about the gift, look at this, for example. The reason I put these verses together is, don't just read verse 2, read the next verse. Don't just read verse 16, read the verse right before that, and you'll see that it's faith with grace. Verse 2 says, I have given you the city, but read the next verse. And you shall compass the city, all the men of war, going about the city once for 6 days. That doesn't take away from the gift, verse 2, when you go compass the city, verse 3. It's still a gift. You've got to do what I say to get the gift. And that's what you'll find in Scripture. And this is all over the Scripture. That something will be said about God's gift, and if you'll read the context, it'll talk about what man needs to do to take the gift. We don't need to isolate a passage and just focus in on that. Somebody would read verse 2 and say, well, see, there you go. It was by God's gift alone. No, read the next verse. It was God's gift, and then they had to meet some conditions. In verse 16, we're told, Jehovah hath given you the city. But read the verse right above it. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early in the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass that Jehovah gave them the city. Yeah. And so the second thing that we want to learn this evening is that we're nothing without the grace of God. We're absolutely nothing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. Without God's gifts, without His blessing and favor, we cannot be saved. Ephesians 2, verse 5, by grace are you saved. And the reason I want to be plain about that is that sometimes we're charged with not preaching enough on God's grace. Sometimes we're accused of ignoring or downplaying the grace of God. We cannot be saved without the grace of God. But what kind of grace is it? It is grace that says, I want to give you a gift, and here are the conditions to meet that. The faith that fell walls acted in conjunction with God's grace and in no way took away from God's grace. It simply met the conditions. And so in verse 5, Ephesians 2, 5, by grace have you been saved, but come down a few verses in verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith. And so we need to understand that we need God's grace, but we have to meet the conditions in order to receive that gift. The gift is Jesus Christ on the cross. We cannot be saved without that. God provided the cross. God provided Jesus Christ. God provided the sacrifice. God provided the blood. It's God's grace, God's gift. But He says, here are the conditions to meet that blood. We contact the blood when we repent and are baptized into Christ. True faith will always act in conjunction with God's grace. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. How do we get into the grace of God? How do we contact this gift? God gave them the city. They would be nothing without God's gift. But they had to compass the city once for 6 days. And on the seventh day, 7 times, they had to meet those conditions. And when they did, the city fell and God gave them that city. It's faith in conjunction with God's grace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that verse right there. Justified by faith, that's what we do. And then the same verse mentions God and Jesus Christ. It's both. It's not and or, it's both. Verse 2, through whom, that is through Jesus, we also have had our access by faith into this grace. How do you get to the gift of God? How do you get to the grace of God? It's faith gives you access like the key opening the door. That is what gets us to that gift. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. The plan of salvation, to hear the gospel, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of our sins, to confess, Romans 10, 9 and 10, to be baptized, Acts 2, 38, to live faithfully throughout our Christian life. These are the conditions that we meet in order to get the grace of God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. What is that? Jesus Christ on the cross. But read the next verse. How do we access any and all of that? Instructing us. Joshua 6:2, I have given you this city. What's the next verse? Verse 3. The instructions on how to get the city. God gives us grace, but He instructs us how to contact that. Instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world and so forth. Yes, God's grace comes with instructions. And if I said to Shannon, I have a gift for you out in the car, I'm going to give him the instructions on how to get that gift. Whether it's meet me out there or take my key and go out and get it, I'm going to give you the instructions on how to get that gift. Faith that fell walls is faith in conjunction with God's grace. And this is a great story. If we're talking with others and if we're having Bible studies with others about how it is that God's grace works with man's faith, it's a great story to show that both are necessary. You look at what we commonly call the plan of salvation. In each of these steps, God is doing something in His grace. And man is doing something in his faith. We've got to hear the gospel. Well, who provided the gospel? Who provided the gospel preaching? God and His grace. We have to believe. Who gave us Jesus Christ and the miracles and the way in which we can believe that He's the Son of God? John 20, 30 and 31. Who provides all of that evidence for belief? God and His grace. But we have to do the believing. You look at repentance. 2 Peter 3, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's long-suffering. But we have to do the repenting. In each of these steps, God is doing something, and we have to do something. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, He raised Him from the dead. Romans 1, 4, He put Him as the Son of God. He gave Him the ability to be the Son of God, and He proved Him to be the Son of God. That's God's grace. We have to be baptized. He provides the plan in which to be baptized. We have to live faithfully. And even in the matter of living faithfully, He stands ready. 1 John 1, 7 through 9, He stands ready to forgive when we confess and pray. So all along the way, God's grace is there. God's gift is there. But our faith has to be there as well. The faith that fell walls is faith in conjunction with God's grace. Number 3, the faith that fell walls is faith in God's way. And God's way is the simple way. It's the way that works. It's the way of obedience. And we have all kinds of ways today. All kinds of religious ways. All kinds of people saying all kinds of things. But God's way is the only way that works. Come back with me to Joshua chapter 6. The way of God was to march around the walls. And of course, you're familiar with the story there. We've already read verse 3. Compass the city, going about it once, and do that for 6 days. Verse 4, and the seven priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. There was an order in which to march. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. So these various instructions are given. That's God's way. Now let me ask you something. Does this way have anything to do with physically making walls fall down? You can march around this building all you want, and the walls are not going to fall down. Is this a common military tactic? Is this something that if you do it, it will physically make walls fall down? No, without God's grace, without the miracle of God, without the gift of God, this would not happen. It's faith in God's way. And His way is clearly laid out. You read verses 3 and following, there's no confusion here. There's no problem with understanding that. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we hear the instructions? How do we know what God wants us to do? And it's plain, Ephesians 5:17, be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There was no confusion here. Joshua gets up early in the morning and does exactly what he's told to do. Faith that fell walls is faith that trusts in the simple and plain instructions of God without question. And we need to understand that today. This has always been the case throughout the Word of God. Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. If we're going to make it through life, and if we're going to get to Canaan land, it's going to be a faith, not just in God, but in God's grace and in God's plan. A lot of people believe in God, but they don't want to follow the Bible. Because the Bible, God's way, is something different than what they want. In fact, it's too plain for them. It is so plain that they don't want it. We have this problem of homosexuality in our nation. We have all kinds of other problems. The problem is not the instructions are unclear. It's because they are clear that we don't like it because we want our own lifestyle. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Listen, going up against Jericho, no one in their own personal thinking would have thought, if I just march around these walls, they'll come tumbling down. That came from God. And His ways may be higher and different from ours, but we have to follow those things. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. My way is you march around, and on the seventh day you do that seven times, and they're going to come falling down. That's my way. Take it or leave it. And we've got to have trust in God's Word. Verse 11, my word will not return unto me void. And it didn't on this occasion. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As you're turning over there, think about some of these Bible examples and stories of other things. The Passover. Stop and think about this for just a moment. Once a year, you're supposed to kill an unblemished lamb and get the blood and wipe it all over your doorpost. There's probably the stain left there from the previous year. And you're going, what does this have to do with anything? That's God's way. It's God's instruction. You do it, you'll be saved, you'll be right with God. You don't do it, then you can't be right with God. God's ways are higher than man's ways. We just need to follow God's instructions. Today, some people say, well, I don't see the point in baptism, or I don't see the point in the Lord's Supper and this and that. That's not for you to see. We have faith in God's way. God's Word is true. You take the matter of the brazen serpent. So I'm marching along, Numbers 20 and 21, and I'm bit by the brazen serpent because I've been murmuring and complaining, and now I'm supposed to look at a brazen serpent. Like that's going to heal me. Well, you can imagine that thought going along in the minds of some Israelites. That's God's way, though. And God said, you look and you'll live. Naaman, go dip seven times in the Jordan River. Right. I got leprosy. What's that going to do? In fact, Naaman said, why can't I use another river? It's the same mentality. Why can't I do something else? I don't see that way. I don't see that idea. And he just simply was told, you have to follow God's way. And the scripture says that when he dipped seven times, his skin became white as snow, just clean. We could talk about the plan of salvation. Well, I don't see why I have to be baptized. We could talk about the work and the worship of the church. Why can't we use instruments? It's the same as why do we have to march around the walls? It's the same thing. God said it. And we have to do it. And faith that fell walls is going to be faith in God's way, not our way. Look, if it were my way, if it were your way, we'd probably bring all kinds of things into the church. Because you have things you like. I have things I like. We all have things we like. We just all start bringing that into the church. But it's not about us. Faith that fell walls, the faith that saves, is faith in God's way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I mentioned verse 26. Back up to verse 18. He's talking about preaching the gospel. The word of the cross is to them that perish, those that don't want to believe it and obey it, foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Look at it. Marching around the walls to a lot of people would be foolishness. But to the Israelites, it was the power of God. Can you imagine the people in Jericho? Hey guys, it's the third day and they walked around our walls again today. Like that's going to do anything. And then they get up on the fourth day. Hey, you know those Israelites, they're walking around again. Nothing's happening. You see that? You see what the world does with that? And that's what the world does with the gospel and with the church and the work and worship of the church. They think those things foolish. But that's what the Scripture teaches. And we just simply have faith and trust with God. And don't worry about what the world says. We don't know, but I would assume that some of those Jericho soldiers are looking over the wall, probably taunting and laughing and poking fun at that whole arrangement. That would be my guess. The work of the church is confined to preaching the gospel and using the Word of God to edify the saved and to be benevolent toward needy saints. The work of the church is not finding games and recreation and camps and this and that, and circuses and all kinds of things, because it's God's way. Some people balk at the idea that church unity can be maintained and attained. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. The unity of the Spirit on the Word of God, that we can be unified. People laugh at that and they say, well, we can never be unified, so let's just agree to disagree. And they have other plans of unity. Other plans for worship, other plans for salvation, other kinds of works. True faith will follow God's instructions without question and regardless of how they may sound. Initially, this may have sounded pretty dumb to march around those walls, but that's what it took to bring it down. And a lot of things, maybe, in the Word of God, by man's reasoning, seems foolish. Now, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1. Behold your calling, brethren, that is, calling through the gospel, obeying the gospel. Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame them that are wise. Verse 30, but of him are we in Christ, who was made unto us the wisdom from God. That's what we're interested in, God's word, God's wisdom. We don't care about the world. They think it's foolish, they think it's dumb, but we're going to follow God's word. Last verse, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It brings glory to God. We're not going to worry about what man says. The fourth characteristic of faith is that it obeys God. The faith that fell walls was obedient. God's gift of Jericho was grace, was a gift, but it was conditioned upon the obedience of the Israelites. In chapter 6, 12 through 14, back to the text now, they had to go through the instructions. They had to follow the instructions. And what's interesting, did you ever notice in your Bible in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, the past tense? God says, as if it's already been accomplished, I have given you the city of Jericho. Well, why didn't they just say, thanks, we'll take it? I have given it to you in condition or in promise. You have to follow those things. And so verses 12 through 14, Joshua rose up early. And we need to be diligent and energetic about that when God wants us to do something. They did that. The seven priests bearing the seven trumpets went on continually and blew the trumpets, and armed men went before them, and the rearward came after the ark. The priests blowing the trumpets as they went, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days, and then on the seventh day, verse 15, they do those things and the walls fall down. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 again. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about. After. Well, I want salvation now without doing anything. It doesn't work that way. It's after I obey God's word. Turn with me to James chapter 1, and then we'll look at James chapter 2. Faith that saves, it has always been like that. This is a great Old Testament story to teach us how faith works, the walls of Jericho. It's an obedient faith. In the New Testament scripture, God says, I've given you salvation in Jesus Christ, but not unconditionally. I've given you heaven. I've promised these things. These things are ready for you, but you have to meet the conditions. In James chapter 1, verse 22, James 1, 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if one is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that is an obedient doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, that is the New Testament gospel, the law of liberty, it sets us free from sin, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, there's your obedience, this man shall be blessed in his doing. What if the Israelites said, well, I hear you, Lord, I hear you about walking around the city, but then they don't do it. No, you've got to be a hearer and a doer. Turn to chapter 2. Faith that saves is a faith that works. James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered, there's your verb, there's your obedience, offered up Isaac his son upon the altar. Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. If you want to complete your faith this evening, you say, well, I have faith in Christ. If you want to complete it and make it whole and right, then you act upon it in obedience. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Verse 24, you see that by works a man is justified and not only by faith. I've mentioned this before many times, that the only time faith and only are in the scripture, the word not is there. Not only by faith. And in the world today we hear, well, no, it's just faith only. No, it's not only by faith. It's by faith that works and shows itself in obedience. And then Rahab, in like manner also, Rahab the harlot, justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, when we die, the body goes into that coffin, and then we go to the cemetery and put that body in the ground, and the spirit returns to God. There's a separation between the body and the spirit. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Our faith is dead tonight if it is a faith that merely has some thought in Christ, but it's not going to act in obedience. Because the obedience and the works is separate from the faith, it's dead. We've got to bring those two together, faith and works. The faith that fell walls worked. It obeyed, it followed the conditions and the instructions, and true faith always does that. It obeys all the instructions. Matthew 7, not him that just says, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, Jesus sent his apostles out to preach the gospel, and they were to command people to observe all that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6:46. They obeyed the gospel that was given to them, Romans 6:17. They obeyed the form of doctrine that was taught to them. We're begotten again through obedience to the gospel. And in 1 John 2, 3-5, we show our love by obeying the commandments. Whether it's the plan of salvation or the life of a Christian, we're going to be obedient on a regular basis. That's the faith that is going to cause walls to fall and cause us to be victorious. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, the faith that fell walls was ultimately rewarded by God. There's a great blessing and a reward that will come at the end of the day when we have faith in God, when we work with His grace, when we follow His instructions, God's work and God's way, and don't deviate from that, and when we obey God, there will be a reward at the end of the day. Joshua chapter 6, 20 and 21, God gave them the city, they completely destroyed the city, they were victorious. God kept His promise, God doesn't lie. The faith that fell walls was rewarded. God said, I've given you this city, you obey me, you'll get it. He kept His word, And we know in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation, reward to all them that obey Him. And that's what we want. That's what we want at the end of the day. That's what we want at the end of our life. We want that promise of heaven, but it's going to take the right kind of faith to get there. True faith will be rewarded because God keeps His word. Sometimes man doesn't, but God always does. And God's way works best. Colossians 3:24, He will reward those in heaven. 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul said that He will give a crown of life to those who are faithful. Titus 1:2, we have the hope of eternal life that God has promised because He does not lie. God does not lie. Titus 1:2. Hebrews 6:11, He makes a promise and an oath and He keeps that. James 1:12, the crown of life that will be given to those who endure temptation. 1 Peter 4, 1, 4, and 5. Turn with me there. I want you to notice something about the 1 Peter passage and the 2 Peter passage. If you'll keep these in mind and just sometimes when you want encouragement, flip back and forth between 1 Peter 1 and 2 Peter 1. And they have the same thing in common. They talk about the reward and the power of God and the faith of man, the very things that we've been talking about tonight. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, did we talk about that tonight? God's grace, God's mercy. We're nothing without that. Begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible, talking about heaven, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's your reward. But look at verse 5. Who by the power of God, how did the walls come down? God's power. How are we saved today? God's power. Faith in God's power. Who by the power of God are guarded, now read the rest of the verse, through faith. You see how it's God's power and our faith? You see how it's together? Unto a salvation ready to be revealed. The same thing that we've been studying tonight. It's a good summary of what we've been studying. God's mercy, God's power, our faith, and at the end of the day, salvation. At the end of the day, walls falling down. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, and then we'll close. Seeing that His divine power, how did Jericho fall? By the power of God. Seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He hath granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises. They got Jericho. We have the promise of heaven. That through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Yea, and for this cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. God's power, verse 3 and 4. Your faith, verse 5. You see, it's the same thing every time. And so, it will be rewarded. God has a salvation ready for us. And that's what keeps us moving forward. Somebody says, well, it's hard to have faith in God. And it's hard sometimes to follow God's way. Absolutely. And it's hard sometimes to obey. And there are a lot of challenges out there. There are a lot of thick walls out there, as it were. What keeps us moving in the right direction? Our last point, that great reward. And it is challenging. And the battles sometimes are difficult. And sometimes when we're down there in the trenches on a daily basis, it's very difficult. One thing that helps us to keep pressing forward through those things is to keep our eye on that reward. They kept their eye on that city falling down, and it fell down. And there were victories to follow in the rest of the book. When sin was in the camp, they had problems. They learned that in the next chapter. But with sin out of the camp and obeying God and following God, there are victories in the rest of the book. And so there'll be victories in our life. Walls will fall down. Maybe they need to begin to fall this evening. Maybe those walls that are standing between us and complete obedience need to come down tonight. You know how they're going to come down? The same way. Faith in God, in God's way, in God's power, doing what God wants. Those walls will come down. They'll start this evening. When we sing this song of invitation, you can come and be right with God. Those walls can come down. Those walls that are standing between you and heaven. Or as a Christian, as we live from day to day, those walls that are up, that the devil is putting up, those obstacles, those challenges, those things that will keep us out of heaven, we can move through those and move forward and be victorious with the right kind of faith. If we can assist you, if you're subject in any way, if we can help you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Thank you.